And now for something completely different.
Is what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, our devotional diamond of the day, a love your neighbor definition. Plus, we examine whether science is kind of running behind the Bible. And today's Facebook post, our true legacy.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. Growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Christ, and his life turned around. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experience with as many people as he could. Then he found K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. You want to reach the show? David Spoon at KPRZ.com. We have people that send us emails that really like us. We appreciate that. We have people that send us emails that really don't like us. We appreciate that. Send an email if you want us to read it.
What about our smoke signal receiver? Is that still down?
It's so funny you should bring that up. I just received an email from somebody about our smoke signal receiver not working.
And, apparently it's still down.
You know, I don't know what it is. We're going to talk to, Craig, have him go out to the tower and see what's going on. But I think what happens is somebody just puts water on it, and then it just stops.
Yeah, that would do it.
That would do it. This segment brought to you by our good friend Sam Rasool. And if you're not familiar with Sam, I'm going to make this as simple, the simplest it's ever been. Real estate, thinksam.com. Real estate, thinksam.com. Real estate, thinksam.com. If you think that's irritating, wait till you can't get that out of your mind in about 3 hours. That's the power of radio. Thank you very much. Okay. Did you like that? We are going, my family and I, going to get an opportunity to check out I'm pretty excited about this, to go to the USS Midway Museum in the middle of May. I'm going to encourage you to go to midway.org and check out the overnight that they got taking place on the 22nd of April. Plus, also go down there and check out the museum. That's what my wife and I and her family are doing in about 3 weeks. We're going to be heading down there and spending the day. Very excited to do so. And I think if you check it out, you'll be blessed. You can either get information through kprz.com or go to midway.org. Either way. You can do it either direction, right?
Right.
Either way? Either way. Either way, either direction? Either direction.
It's all right.
What? Okay. Let's talk about definitions on love. A love your neighbor definition. Romans chapter 13, verse 9 through 10. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. I want to make this super easy. Last week, I did a DDD. Actually, I think it was earlier this week. Rober producer asked me, because I was doing this DDD, what one thing had to do with another, because I had talked about Jesus being 100% man and 100% God, not 50% of each. But before that, I had made a comment regarding people shacking up. And so I walk into the, control room area, and he goes, what did one thing have to do with another? I want to make sure you understand. Nothing. It was a social commentary on my way to the teaching. I was just using prior verses. That's what I'm about to do again. Here's the deal. Number one, it talks about the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. here's something that people say all the time. Well, you can't legislate morality. Well, guess what? You're wrong. Because 50% of our laws are completely based on the morality issue. Two of these four, murder and stealing, are not only morality issues, but have specific penalties attached to them. Committing murder is immoral. We have a law against it. That's called legislating morality, in case you didn't know that. So I just want to clear the air for those that get that all twisted. But let's go to the love your neighbor thing. See how one thing has nothing to do with another? Okay. That was the social commentary. Now we're coming into the actual DDD.
Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Exactly. Love your neighbor. How do you do that? Well, it's pretty simple. Verse 10. This is a definition, not the definition. It is a definition. You love your neighbor by doing no wrong to your neighbor. That's it right there. You want to love your neighbor? We're not going to do it perfectly. We're not going to do it exactly the way Jesus does, apart from the Holy Spirit empowering us and us walking in that process, walking, reflecting, being just like Jesus. But I'm telling you, from a practical Christian point of view, one of the elements that you and I can utilize in moving our way to a more pure loving your neighbor position is to understand in our position now that a great way to love your neighbor is to do no wrong to your neighbor. It's not the only definition, but it is a definition and a solid one. And since you and I are told, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, part of the fulfillment of that command comes down to don't do anything wrong to your neighbor. If you're going to do something and it's wrong, you're not loving your neighbor and you're breaking the command. Do no wrong. Don't harm in any capacity. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't do anything. Do nothing wrong to your neighbor. What if my neighbor is not very nice? Do nothing wrong to your neighbor, and you will be fulfilling a part of loving your neighbor. Pretty straightforward. Use that, work with that, walk with that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Taking a short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience. From K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Christians have been warning for decades that pornography is destructive and addictive. Well, mainstream news outlets seem to have finally caught on. Stay tuned to Breakpoint.
From the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's Eric Metaxas with Breakpoint. Today's commentary may not be suitable for young children. Please use parental discretion.
Could I be dreaming? For decades, the media has been a staunch defender of pornography. Freedom of speech, freedom to choose, sexual liberation, and all that, don't you know? But now, wonder of wonders, America's leading news sources seem to have awakened from their long slumber. They're finally recognizing pornography for what it is, an unprecedented public health crisis. Time magazine, for example, just ran a cover story about the grassroots backlash against internet erotica. Belinda Luscombe documents a movement of former porn addicts helping their peers find ways to break the grip of online voyeurism. Guys like Gabe Deem, the 28-year-old founder of Reboot Nation, offer advice and support for fellow young people who believe they are addicted to pornography. The reason some are swearing off smut, Luscombe explains, is simple. These mostly non-religious 20-somethings who've been guzzling porn since puberty are realizing that porn has rewired their sexuality, leaving them crippled in real-life relationships. The new crusaders against porn, writes Luscombe, are convinced that their sexual responses have been sabotaged because their brains were virtually marinated in porn when they were adolescents. They feel like unwitting guinea pigs in a largely unmonitored, decade-long experiment in sexual conditioning. And this experiment involves a lot of guinea pigs. One online traffic monitoring company recorded 107 million hits on explicit web pages in the U.S. alone, just in the month of February. The Huffington Post reports that in 2013, X-rated sites got more monthly visitors than Netflix, Amazon, and Twitter combined. And one of the most popular adult pages reported that its visitors last year watched nearly 4.4 billion hours, or 500,000 years' worth of explicit video. Other news outlets are coming to their senses on this issue as well. Writing in the Washington Post last week, sociology professor Gail Dines argues that the scientific question of whether porn is bad for society is settled. Just as the tobacco industry argued for decades that there was no proof of a connection between smoking and lung cancer, she writes, the porn industry, with the help of a well-oiled public relations machine, has denied the existence of empirical research on the impact of its products. But Dine cites a wealth of peer-reviewed studies showing that men who consume porn are more accepting of rape, sexual assault, and harassment, and that kids who watch porn engage in sex sooner and at greater risk. Even the New York Times chimed in, admitting that the number of teens who are getting their de facto sex education from porn should worry us. Peggy Orenstein complains that women today have to cope with men who've been conditioned to treat them as objects to be used rather than people to be loved. And ironically, the ubiquity of sexual imagery has had a chilling effect on sex itself. For Christians, the fact that the mainstream media is finally admitting these consequences is encouraging, very encouraging. But this is just a start. We've got to be able to point those who want to be freed from the prison of porn to something better. Our sexuality was not designed for screens. And as the Apostle Paul writes, our bodies weren't meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. Will Time magazine one day admit that too? Maybe not, but hey, a guy can dream. If you know someone who struggles with pornography, there are helpful resources at breakpoint.org. For Breakpoint, this is Eric Metaxas.
We invite you to get a free downloadable excerpt from Restoring All Things, the book by John Stonestreet and Warren Cole Smith. Just go to breakpoint.org/free.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I do want to let you know a few different things. One, quick weather update. It's mostly sunny today. It'll be mostly sunny tomorrow. Mostly sunny on Friday, but the temperature going to be dropping roughly about 10 degrees between now and Friday. Might want to just keep aware of that if you are a person that is concerned about that. Actually, it's going to keep going down, I think, till Monday. Monday's high is about going to be about 66, and then it'll start going back up the other way. However, Monday in and of itself could see a little bit of possible raindrops, just a few possible raindrops. No big deal. Big encouragement for you to go to whitefields.org. Why would you go to whitefields.org? Well, I can give you multiple reasons, not just that the ministry is doing great work advancing the gospel all over the world, which is fantastic, that they're helping villages that have no clean drinking water get drinking water so people don't have to drink from cesspools, fantastic, and that they're doing different events throughout the year to bring blessings to people in the community. One of those events we're going to be participating with, I'm going to participate with personally, and KPRZ is connected to, and that is their event on June 4th called Redemption Stories, Finding Hope and Taking Action, that has to do with an opportunity for worship, fellowship, ministry, and I'm going to get a chance to share my testimony. Now, Steve Wheeler doesn't know this. So the only way he's going to know this, he's going to email me if he hears this right now, right this second, unless he listens to the podcast. But I'm working on for him having a additional worship band / Christian band show up at the event. Ooh. All I'm going to tell you is if you got more if you want more information, whitefields.org, so that you can know what the ministry is about and see how you can participate and or attend. It will be a limited seating capacity, just because that's the size of the room we got. 760-846-8610 if you want to get in touch with Whitefields. There you go. Let's take just a few moments and talk about this story that came out. Scientists have concluded, you know, when a scientist concludes something, it never changes, which is why smoking was good for you 100 years ago. Scientists have concluded, get this, though, they have figured out that people lie.
People don't tell the truth there?
Nope. Scientists have concluded, they've done a large amount of studies, they have figured out that people lie, and politicians do more so by statistical analysis.
Politicians have been not telling me or stretching the truth for most of my adult life.
Do you know how to tell if this administration is lying? They're talking. Here is how you know what is going on. They're telling you right now, this is what they did. They've done these studies that lying for more than two decades. They did this research on different groups of people, that there people are being less than truthful, and that people stretch the truth, and that we are deceiving people even from the age of toddlers. I want to point out about four really important things. One, it's fantastic that science has caught up yet again to the Bible. This is true in regards to the earth being round. It's true in regards to the earth not being the center of the universe. And it's true now in regards to lying. Romans chapter 3, verse 4, let God be true, but every human being a liar. Okay, 2,000 years ago, they told us that everybody's a liar. Well, wait, they just figured that out in the last 20 years. Or they could have read the Bible and they would have figured out the exact same thing. Here's the big difference. When you told your first lie, you didn't go to lying school. Your parents didn't necessarily lie to you. You didn't watch a television show that showed you lying. You innately knew how to lie. Want to know why? Because you have a sinful nature. It's funny how many people didn't go to lying school yet end up lying. Isn't that amazing? What they're saying in the analysis, as early as 3 years old, children are lying. And then it says this. Listen to this report. Then it says, at age two, about 30% of the kids lie. And at age one, they don't have a statistic because not enough kids talk. Here's the thing you got to know. God's been telling us that for ages. You have an innate capacity. It's built into you, a sinful nature. So when you're 3 years old and you tell a lie, you didn't go to lie school. You didn't learn it from lie. I learned lying from Lying 101 on Sesame Street. No. It's in your nature when you got a sinful nature. That's true for a lot of people in stealing, too. That's where it's really evident as well. Here's the deal. Science, yet again, trying to catch up with God. Get ahead of science. Read your Bible. How about that? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Chris George, General Manager of Subaru Mazda of El Cajon. Chris, what does Subaru Mazda of El Cajon mean to you?
I wanted to do business in a town and in a community that I live in. I go to church in, my kids go to school in. We know the teachers, we know the families. So any day you walk in that store, somebody in there knows somebody that goes to church at Foothills or goes to church at Shadow Mountain or Skyline.
Go to Subaru Mazda of El Cajon today and get a free tire rotation, brake inspection, and alignment quick check.
This is John MacArthur with another edition of Portraits of Grace. Most people today hold an aversion to serious spiritual thought and self-examination. I believe that's why Christian television, music, and other forms of entertainment are so popular. They're just escapes from reality through entertainment. They're far more appealing and easy than gazing into the mirror of God's Word deeply and intently, and having your spiritual flaws and blemishes exposed and then doing something about it. But if you desire to be like Christ, you have to see yourself for who you really are and make those necessary corrections. To do so, you must examine your life in the light of Scripture. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal your true condition and give you the power through prayer and confession to become what God wants you to be. This is John MacArthur, looking forward to bringing you more Portraits of Grace.
We'll be right back. Maranatha Christian Schools, one of San Diego's premier private schools, is growing, and we want to invite you to be a part of it. Come tour our campus on Fridays. No appointments necessary. Our friendly admissions staff will be ready to show you our beautiful campus as they tell you about our excellent academics, sports, and arts programs. Plus, you'll learn how we integrate the biblical worldview into our curriculum. As you visit, you'll be able to see inside our classrooms and have a chance to experience our school's environment. Many have said, I truly feel like I'm standing on holy ground. This is where I want my children to go to school. We are serious about what we do, and we have worked hard to provide an environment that fosters creativity, excellence, and community involvement. We're ready for you and your students. Check us out online at maranathachristianschools.org. That's maranathachristianschools.org, or call 858-759-9737. That's 858-759-9737.
See if you agree with this observation. Education is what you get when your parents send you to college, but it isn't manifested in you until you send your children. In other words, one of the sure signs of education or enlightenment is our desire to help others toward the same goal. The Apostle Paul understood this. In his second letter to his young protege Timothy, he told Timothy to take what he had been taught and pass it on to faithful people who could then teach others. Where are you in that chain of spiritual education? Are you learning and teaching others? This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's plan for spiritual education on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. That's Route66Life.com. Route 66, start your journey home today.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Revelatory for Robo Producer and I to sit there and think, gosh, we didn't go to Lying 101. We knew how to lie when we were little tykes.
I knew very early on and within 2.5 seconds what I needed to get away with and how I could do it.
Yeah, it's almost a bizarre element, right? That it's almost as though when you get to a point where you access, I think there's a definite innocence element that takes place, but there is this moment that you access it. In Jewish law, by the way, for those that are trying to figure out your direct accountability, is when you turn 13. That's what your bar mitzvah is, the accountability to the law. It's not just that a young person becomes a man. That's a little mythy. It's more that you have a responsibility to be obedient to God's law, you know, more than you're ready to like start a family mentality. So that's interesting to note. But you are aware, most people are aware, between the ages of maybe 1 and 13 that there are multiple incidents where a person does things that perhaps are not thought of in the best light. That is the nicest way in the world I could say about my very own granddaughter, right? Adeline Joy, which, by the way, when she gets angry, you know what she's called? When Adeline gets angry, she's called Madeline. When she's bad, she's called Badeline. And when she's crying, she's called Sadeline. I gave her all those. See, there are things you have to contribute to in the legacy of your life. Does that make sense?
Has she got her first official Red Wings onesie yet?
No, and unfortunately,
I know the story, but I just thought I would ask on air.
All right. So, you know, I mean, first of all, the Red Wings lost last night. It was a disaster. I don't know how the Tampa Bay Lightning got a penalty with 3.5 minutes left, but okay.
They must have cheated.
We won't talk about that. But, you know, I did get the Green Bay one for her dad, just to make sure that's all good. But when the child has a cognitive ability, I will warp that child tremendously so the child is a Red Wing fan, and then the child just looks at her dad and goes, hockey, 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 hockey. And what I'm going to work it out as that she can say it so many times that after a certain amount of time, he'll just have to give her money or candy or ice cream to get her to be quiet. And then she's going to think I'm a genius.
Sounds like exactly what I did with my son becoming a Dodger fan. Unfortunately, since I'm the one that indoctrinated him, I'm still paying for all the food at the baseball games.
See, who indoctrinated who? That's the question. Well. All right. All right, here's our DDD. This does not have a title, so we'll call it No Title DDD. That's the title. No Title DDD. I went back into the well on this one, ironically. And it'll seem like it's in sequence with my other DDDs that I've done in Romans, but in fact, this DDD I'm going to share with you is 3 years old. It's just never been taught on the show. And I have, I guess, we've done a little over 4,000 devotional diamonds of the day, of 4,000 of these teachings, and I have another 2,000 that I have never shared that I've written for the show. So every once in a while, I go to the well. That's what we call it. You go to the well and you pull out an oldie but a goodie.
Quick question. Is Uncle Bob in that same well?
Yeah. Uncle Bob! Okay. That was actually Cameron John, who's still taking a nap, apparently. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. You might not like this show, but boring it is not. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I do want to start this off, and it's funny because this is going to be in the Facebook post on Friday. I actually wrote that one ahead of time. But this is one of the most important elements. God is a God of hope. Many Christians act like God is Mr. Frumpy Pants. And I'm just not following. I understand it's a difficult political season, not just for Republicans, not just for Democrats, not just for independents, but for every American who is forced to watch a political ad when they're trying to watch a show. It's tough for everybody. I also understand that the financial times are up and down. There's some good things happening, some bad things happening, and there's some inconsistency and instabilities, and it's uncomfortable. But God is not like the economy. God is not like the television, the media, the communication, or the entertainment. God is like none of this ridiculous stuff. God has been the same throughout. Keep in mind, 1,000 years ago, they didn't have TV. They didn't have internet. They didn't have the same type or level of communication that we have now. And yet God consistently communicating and positioning himself to humanity as the God of hope. And that's an important element. I'm going to tag in one specific spot here, and then Friday when we do the Facebook, I'm going to tag into a different one. In this scripture, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And therein, for too many people, lies the tough part. There is a joy that is afforded to us and a peace that is afforded to us as we trust in him. You don't get to get the joy and the peace operating in a spirit of doubt and fear. It doesn't work that way. I've got joy, I've got peace, and I've got fear, and I'm concerned. It doesn't work that way. You have to have this confidence, this trust in the God of hope. And as you have that trust, the peace that comes from God and the joy that comes from God becomes a part of you. But you don't get to do that disconnected from God. You have to be connected to God to get the benefits from God. That's all it is. You don't get to get all the blessings if you're sitting out on the shelf and spending no time. It doesn't work that way. And Christianity, for your life and for mine, better be more than fire insurance. This your policy run dry. Get it? Okay. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Nowhere to run to.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on KPRZ 1210 AM, KPRZ.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him. When Da I Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
If people are talking about something that really seems too good to be true, maybe they're talking about glory. Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Ever allow yourself to dwell on what our eternity as believers will be like? What a wonderful future God has planned for us. It's called an eternal glory, a magnificent future of forgiveness and constant, endless grace. Eternity. Everlasting life spent with my Father, the Creator, the lover of my soul, my Redeemer. It is so good only God could plan it like that. Doesn't seem to be too good to be true. It's just so good, it must be true.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
This is Michael Medved for townhall.com. Hillary Clinton deserves criticism for many aspects of her candidacy, including her push to expand government's role in our lives and to pull back from America's leadership in the world. She's also open to ethical questions over her reckless use of a secret email account, dubious donations received by the Clinton Foundation, huge speaking fees from Wall Street, and much, much more. But it makes absolutely no sense for Republicans to attack her marriage. Dragging out these ancient scandals will only work to strengthen Hillary. Bill's popularity actually peaked during the impeachment crisis, while Hillary won sympathy and support for her Senate race by standing by her man. Through it all, the Clintons have managed to raise an achieving, well-adjusted daughter and to keep a troubled marriage together for 41 years. Why attack them for the one achievement that conservatives should be most inclined to respect? I'm Michael Medved.
From the San Diego studios of KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
Living this life. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California. I do want to mention, by the way, the Pastors Masters Golf Tournament. Susie puts on the golf tournament, helps coordinate the golf tournament, our very own Susie Lopez. And she works pretty hard at that whole golf tournament process. I've done one tournament in 30 years that I helped coordinate. I won't do that. I don't mind showing up. I'm just not coordinating it. Just like that's not my gig. And here's what I want you to know. We've had several pastors of late that have been like, oh, no, we want to attend. We want to check it out. And we want to encourage you. We're going to encourage you right up until the cutoff date. And you're thinking, what's the cutoff date? I'm pretty sure the cutoff date is going to be like in the next 7-8 days. Since the golf tournament is May 2nd, our time is shrinking. And if you're a person who is in ministry and you're thinking, I'd love to do that, love to participate, even if you don't have a full foursome, it'd be worth contacting us and let us know, because we can put two twosomes together. And the last time I checked, two twos make a four. So we can work something out. We're pretty adaptable people. But I want to encourage you to participate if you're involved in ministry in that way, or if you want to sponsor a pastor and you just want to get in touch with us at KPRZ and say I want to coordinate something. I just want to give $100 to put a foursome through there. And keep in mind, this covers food, lunch, special gifts, awards, laughs, fellowships, and the whole time from basically it runs from like 8 a.m. to about 2 p.m. And then you never know what the unique surprises we might have in store for the pastors and ministers there. That's all I can say. I can't give you any more than that. So if you're a pastor and you're listening, you might be going, what does that mean? I'm not telling you. That's what it means. So go to KPRZ and type in the word golf. That's G-O-L-F.
Again, I want to assure people, David Spoon will not actually be golfing at the tournament.
That's right. I will give you my one golf joke for the moment, and then we'll leave it alone.
Let's hear it.
When somebody says to you, you're driving me crazy, you turn around and say, I'm sorry, it's just a short putt.
That is funny.
Thank you.
You're here all week, literally.
I'm here all week. We're dark on Sunday. All right, so here's the, that means closed, folks.
And Saturday.
Okay, and Saturday. And 4:05 pretty much on Friday, I've checked out. So I'm just telling you ahead of time. By the way, this weekend I get to watch my kids' dogs.
Ooh.
So we get three dogs in a smaller than a cardboard box apartment. I mean, it's our apartment's small.
Someone won't be sleeping on the bed this weekend.
Three dogs. So the combined weight, let's see, is 80, 70, and 45. So we'll
which
have,
one
you
is
know,
you?
Yeah. Which one is me? That's my left leg. What are you talking about? All right, so let's get into our devotional, our DDD. See, this is what happens, folks. You have these meltdowns, and you just do your best. So if you don't know this, but robo-producers doing triple duty. Then we've got people running back and forth because other people are sick. And then, you know, I'm just strange. And they have.
And I've had way too much caffeine.
Well, that's what happens after 36 cups. the title of this devotional diamond of the day is called The Six-Point Blessing. The Six... point blessing. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 26. Six-point blessing. I've wanted to teach this for a while. I just haven't, but I love the way it sounds. Many of you know this out of Numbers 6, 22 through 26, because your pastors or somebody in one of your groups has said this before. Here it is. Then the Lord said to Moses, instruct Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Now, in this case, I ought to get an amen instead of an oh me from most people. That's an old preacher's joke. The prayer is that the Lord would bless us. Now, there is a little bit of understanding here. You're praying that the Lord would bless you. That does not mean that you're going to God saying, here's my wish list, Mr. Genie, fulfill my wish list. That's not the Lord blessing you. That's what people think. The Lord blesses. That's how you think. Well, I wanted this, and I wanted this, and I wanted this. So if I get all these things, it's a blessing. How the Lord blesses somebody is in perfection. He doesn't bless you into your flesh. He blesses you by giving perfectly to you what you need, what you want, what you deep, deep, deep want, the good core part of you that's born again, not what the flesh wants. So we pray that the Lord blesses us based on his blessing understanding or his blessing communication, not our warped sense of understanding. The second part of that blessing, that special blessing that's pronounced, is that the Lord would protect us. I think of nothing more important than traveling through this world, being a Christian, and recognizing that I am hated by entities I can't even see. Well, I can feel them from time to time, and I've had some encounters with them, but it's really a realm that I don't get, but they hate us. Just read Revelation 12 to understand what's really going on. Just read Ephesians chapter 6 to get what's really going on. Just read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 to really understand, or 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Any of these things would be fine, or James 4:7. Any of that. and be aware that we need protection, and that's part of the Lord's blessing. And then the prayer, and I love this. This is, to me, the imagery that I happen to, why I think Christianity is fantastic, because to understand this in Numbers, it takes the life of Jesus Christ to give me a full understanding of this. May the Lord smile on us. I mean, can you just, in your heart, sense, you know, when you've done right in the kingdom or done before the Lord or spent time with the Lord or, you know, just in worship before the Lord, how he would smile at you? I mean, is that just not like the coolest thing? That's like the biggest thing in the world you want to hear when you come up into heaven, is you want the Lord to say, well done, right? I mean, that's like the biggest thing, right? So it's like the smile on us is like a well done. Like, yeah, I want that. That's cool. And then the part of the special blessing is that the Lord be gracious to us. Now, the Lord is gracious in a lot of areas, but we're actually asking for extended grace, for an abundance of grace to be poured out. You know, not dewdrops, but showers of the graciousness of God. And that he might show his favor. And if you're a person who walks in the Christian walk and you're not sure what the favor of God is, then I'm assuming you're a younger Christian, or that you don't have the awareness that in a situation that oftentimes can go negative fast or go really downward fast, you'll find that there's this flip and the Lord is giving favor in your life at the moment in the circumstance, in the situation. And if you don't understand that at all, it's much more, not that it hasn't happened, but that you're just not aware that God is granting you favor from time to time. You don't make your own favor. I do despise the realm of Christians who try to say, well, yeah, you know, you kind of make your own luck. It's like, no. The favor of the Lord is granted by God. You don't deserve it. You don't earn it. You don't send out positive energy waves so that you can be a reciprocal of it. That's none of that stuff. That's all rubbish. You know what the secret is? The secret of humanity that they promoted? That's a lie. The real secret is you just need to spend time with the Lord and ask for his favor. That's all. That's it. It's no secret at all. You just need to be aware of that. And then the prayer at the end is to give us peace. And I think that comes down to a world full of sin and turmoil creates a lot of tension and insecurity in our lives. And then you understand why in the language for the Jewish culture that shalom, which is hello, goodbye, and peace. And it's really interesting because that peace is supposed to accompany the hello and the goodbye and the in-between, which means that there's peace all the time, and that Noah's name means rest, which is derivative of peace, and that peace in and of itself is what most people are seeking. And when they can't find peace, you know what they do? They medicate. And if you think they just medicate with alcohol and with drugs, you're nuts. They medicate with sex. They medicate with sports. They medicate with entertainment. They medicate with every possible thing that's available. And the Lord can grant that to our heart and our minds. So we ask in the simplicity of the 6-point blessing out of number 6 is this. And it's number 6, 22 through 26. Bless us, protect us, smile on us, be gracious to us, show us your favor, and give us peace. And the Lord said, I'll do all that. Pronounce that blessing on my people. That's how much I love my people. Get that? Got that? And as our very own robo producer knows, his name is Noah. Rest and comfort. Yes? Yes. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Studios of KPRZ, 1210 AM, KPRZ. This is the David Spoon Experience.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over 2 decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-426-3500. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-426-3569 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-426-3569 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-426-3569.
What are you doing today that will have the greatest impact on the future?
This is Real Family Life with author and speaker Dennis Rainey for Wednesday, April 20th.
The thing I'm doing that will have the greatest impact on the future is trying to get a degree in environmentalism that will help me understand and correct the water pollution problems that we're experiencing now.
What he's doing sounds important. I hope that when you're on the job, you're able to make a positive contribution to our world as well. But I think that most of us will have the biggest impact on the future, not through our vocation, but through our children. According to sociologist Neil Postman, children are the living messages we send to a time we will not see. For most of us, our greatest legacy in life will be the living messages that are now eating at our dinner tables, devouring our resources, and testing our patience. One final thought. If you're a parent, you can send a negative message into the future through your children. All you got to do is become absorbed in your work and hobbies and let your relationship with them slide. Or you can model integrity for your children. I want to challenge you to send a positive message into the future. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ, 1210 a.m. in San Diego, California. Temperature right about 79, 78 degrees right now. Kind of nice. Do want to let you know if you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com. Big shout out to Billy and Pastor Randall for joining us. In the first hour, we appreciate them at Grace City Church. They're doing a great job advancing the kingdom of God. I like people that respond to the calls of God. Just, I don't know, something about it. Just anything kingdom advancing, I like. I'm one of those guys, I think. Well, most of the time. Let's talk about today's history, then we'll get into today's Facebook post. Today's history, on this day in 1841, the first detective story that we know of, Edgar Allan Poe's detective story, was published on this day in 1841. In 1902, Marie-Pierre Curie isolated radium. And I just can't tell you how close that is to radi. But radium, right there. The Boston Red Sox. Oh, baseball. Baseball, this should be good for Dodger fans. On this day in 1912, the Boston Red Sox played their first game at Fenway Park. They beat the New York Highlanders, who would then become the Yankees. But they beat them in 7-6. A little baseball trivia, right?
That's kind of cool. Did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, wait. I think I have another piece of baseball history. In fact, I do.
Ooh.
On this day also, April 20th, 1916, the Chicago Cubs played their first game at Wrigley Field, then known as Wegman Park. And the Cubs defeated the Reds. Guess what the score was? 7-6. How bizarre is that? Wow. Everybody's doing a 7-6 thing. Kind of cool. And let's see. I don't want to talk about that. I'll let you know if I want to talk about it. No, I don't want to talk about that. So let's talk about what today is. Today is Lookalike Day. It's like, did they just make this stuff up? You know they go into the little calendar thing and they make stuff up. I think they were talking about doppelgangers, but, you know, I'm just kind of trying to figure it out. Anyway, a lookalike is a person who closely resembles another person.
Really?
Who knew? There are many people that make a living by doing guest appearances at public events and, kind of step-ins for other people that they resemble. The only people that look like me are my kids, and they've been reminding me about that and washing their faces with soap ever since. Let's get into our Facebook post, ladies and gentlemen. What do we have for a Facebook post today on the music?
Idea.
I have no. I was going to say, well, you can't say Miami Vice because there's so many. Miami Vice.
Sci-fi.
Okay, sci-fi. This is Doctor Who.
It is Max Headroom.
Really? Wow. I'm not even close. That's why you won't see me at a carnival going, you look like you're $1.95. Anyway, let's make sure we understand what's going on. Today's Facebook post. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Judges chapter 2, verse 10 says this, after that generation had gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel.
Ooh.
After that generation had gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Crushing, devastating, horrible. To think that a generation of people who knew the Lord, who knew his grace and knew his mercy and knew his love, like us, did not make their encounters with the Lord the key priority to communicate to their offspring. Horrendous. And that older generation, whose responsibility it was to teach the younger generation, did not make this their number one goal. That's the case? Horrifying. And thereby, they helped that younger generation to disconnect from God by neglect and allowed this to happen. May it never be so from us and for us. Make sure you communicate who the Lord is, what he's done in your life, and what he's done for those around. Yes? Yes. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ, 1210 AM in San Diego, California, taking a 22-hour break, and then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. We've come along.